You're listening to Midday on WNYC. I'm Kai Wright. If you live in this city, you have seen Milton Glaser's graphic design. He created several of the logos and marks that are now iconic symbols of our town. The I Love New York logo, New York Magazine, and the mosaics at Astor Place subway station, which are some of my favorites of his work. His work has been the subject of retrospectives at MoMA, and he was the first graphic designer to receive the National Medal of Arts. He's also designed over 500 posters for clients ranging from the Lincoln Center to the School of Visual Arts to many Broadway shows, record companies, museums, and other cultural institutions. And now he has collected most of those posters into a book. It's called Milton Glaser Posters, 427 Examples from 1965 to 2017, and it's published by Abrams. Milton, I am delighted that it has brought you to our show. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, you know, as I was alluding to there, 9 out of 10 New Yorkers, if you ask them, would be familiar with any number of your work. But many of them may not know your name. And you sort of allude to this in the introduction to this book, that there's sort of a unique place that graphic designers hold as artists, where the art is supposed to be associated with your client rather than yourself. How do you think about that as artists, as graphic designers?
Well, let us begin by saying that no one knows what art is anyhow. Mm. And when people are talking about art, you don't know what they're talking about.
Fair enough.
Art and design are not the same. And people think that art is about appearance, but art is not about appearance, it's about purpose. Those are very different experiences, but people mix them up in a way that you can never tell what they're talking about. Mm. In the case of posters, what I assume is the reason they have popularity among designers is that they're the only things that you see in the culture that are produced in the design category that are attributed to the maker, which is to say, you get to sign it, and people know who made it. And as you know, for many of us, that kind of recognition is essential to our life, and perhaps is the only thing we really care about.
Mm. Wait, tease out what you mean there by about the difference between art and design and experience versus purpose. So tease that out a little bit.
Well, design is really having an objective and pursuing that objective until you get there. Which say you have something in mind before you begin that you want to achieve. Mm. Art is actually a mechanism for transforming human understanding. Mm. And that is really a very different kind of thing. So what you think about when you look at design is appearance and some idea of style. But you never think that the reason it exists is to change your mind about what you're looking at or to discover what is real. Mm. That really is in the realm of art. That's what happens when you look at Michelangelo or listen to Mozart. But that transformation is not necessary when you're selling tomato soup.
Do they ever overlap?
Do they ever overlap?
Does design ever become
often,
art?
Often it's excessive. From time to time, every once in a while, you see a work that is intended to persuade you, which is one of the characteristics of design, but not necessarily of art, to persuade you to perceive something. At the same time, also does something else to you, which is enter into this odd metaphysical realm where you are not the same after you experience it.
Mm. Can you think of an example of something that's either...
Well, you can think of any significant work of art. And I cite in the book Leonardo's Last Supper, among other things to cite, where if you enter the room and stand in front of the Leonardo for 10 minutes, you are no longer the same.
Mm. Many of the posters in the book are related to music. When you're talking about this, it makes me think about the relationship between music and art.
Yeah.
What do you think
functions precisely in the same way. When it is art, it is transformative. Mm. The world changes as you listen to significant works. And then we know that a lot of music never goes near the realm of art and is about something else.
So you are, your work is so deeply associated with New York City, as I said in the opening there. Did you grow up here? Are you from
I grew up here, born in the Bronx, yeah, a very long time ago.
And just around the corner, I'm sure. What do you think about your relationship with the city? We all have our own relationship with New York City. That's part of living here. What's yours as someone who...
Well, it's hard to describe. I mean, you know, you grow up someplace, you don't understand the water you're swimming in.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only understand your surroundings when you're out of them. But when you're in the surroundings of New York, whatever that is, you don't think of it as a singular place. One of the things about New York, of course, is that it is encompasses everything. I mean, every part of the city is different from every other part. And in fact, it is this extraordinary opportunity to see the world from so many points of view simultaneously. It isn't a singular place. Okay. It's every place. And growing up in New York simply meant having more accessible to me as ideas and influence and alternative ways of perceiving than any other place on earth.
Which then no doubt feeds into... create, whether it be design or art, no doubt is food for the mind.
Precisely.
So you studied at Cooper Union and then got a Fulbright to study painting in Italy. Did you initially intend to be a painter?
No, I actually, while I studied art to begin with, my original intention was to be in the world of printmaking rather than an official gallery painter. But I was privileged when I was in Italy to study with Giorgio Morandi, perhaps the greatest artist of the 20th century in Italy. And what I say about how you learn in painting is by the presence of another whose commitment in life is bigger than your own and who views life in a different way than you do, and by affinity and by proximity, you get to absorb this stuff. Morandi was an extraordinary, brilliant social man in the sense of being concerned about his environment.
Known as a painter's painter.
He was, as is frequently said, he was a painter's painter, an artist, a printmaker's printmaker. He was a great man. And then I came back, and obviously the condition that every artist faces, how am I going to put bread on the table and send my kid to college? So you begin to look for a source of earning a living. And what is adjacent, of course, in the arts are graphic arts, among others, where you work for a purpose as a designer.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Milton Glaser about his new book, Milton Glaser Posters, which is a collection of 427 of his remarkable works over the years. You also mentioned, speaking of sort of distinction between design and other things, design and illustration are not the same thing. What is the distinction there?
Well, they overlap again. The illustration, of course, is figurative, which is say it consists of naturalistically observed reality and pictures of things. Design fundamentally deals with abstraction. It really deals with the transformation of familiar things into structure, into geometry, into color. And it has a more status than illustration in professional life. If you're a designer, you're a step above if you're an illustrator, mostly because designers are the people who give illustrators work to do.
As is often the case. If you're, if you're cutting the check, you get to be higher on the totem. With the posters in the book, many of them, just speaking about all of these different mediums, many of them, I gather, actually started as paintings or prints. Is that correct?
Well, many of them are illustrative. Many of them were prints or paintings or done in watercolors as a medium. what I tried to do all my life is not have an identifiable style, which is to say the style is, one might say, basically closing the eyes to what is. I mean, style is just the way of expressing an idea. For a long time, modernism possessed an entire generation or several generations by reductiveness and by abstraction. And then one day you wake up, you say, that's not truth, that's style. And you do whatever you do through style by achieving certain effects. That's where it enters the world of design intention.
Right.
So, but styles change, and you have to understand your relationship to that change. And what makes me nervous all the time is imposing style where it's inappropriate, where it doesn't come out of the problem, but rather is imposed on the problem. We're getting a little fancy here in our thinking, but that's...
Well, but I have to say, you know, I live with a graphic designer. My partner is a graphic designer, and nothing enrages him quite like seeing a style that does not match the content it is supposed to be depicting.
You always want to be appropriate.
You always want to be appropriate. So is that, and is that a rule then? So style, you're driven, the content determines the style, not...
Absolutely.
Not the other way around.
Absolutely.
A poster by Bob Dylan a poster of Bob Dylan is one of your more iconic images. Think about that in terms of style and why Bob Dylan invoked a certain style for that image.
Well, it's hard to make the exact equivalent between the problem and the style. In Dylan's case, I was playing with influences from Art Nouveau and from the Arts and Crafts movement, all of which became part of this psychedelic way of expressing ideas. They're all derived more than anything else from the turn of the century in France and England, but then they stylistically were kind of digested and redigested until they sort of epitomized that time between the 60s and the 70s. That Dylan became iconic in people's idea of what that generation was looking for.
Yeah. And a number of your posters also build off of styles of famous painters, again, thinking of these mixing of genres. And I wonder if it almost makes me think about graphic design as, and I hope you'll take this as a compliment, is graphic design sort of like hip hop, you know, in terms of sort of pulling from visual cues and references to say something larger. Is that,
well,
what do you think of that comparison?
In my mind, everything is subject matter. There's nothing that has occurred in human history that can't be reapplied to another condition. I was listening or watching that program Civilization on PBS, and they were going through his early Persian works and then into the occurrences in Egypt and then into the 18th century. And all those manifestations had ideas in them about form, which affect everything at this time if you choose to. So for me, any departure, for instance, looking at a rug, the extraordinary design understanding and complexity and richness of those expressions should not be relegated to history. They're alive, they're useful, they're powerful, and they're extraordinary. So I always said to myself, why be satisfied with a modernism sandwich? Why not go out to the available universe and take anything you like?
Right. You've also, speaking of taking anything you like, I mean, you've not shied away from political speech in your graphic design. You know, you've done posters for the Great Boycott, for the War Resisters League. I wonder, is that work, is it like any other client? Is it the same as, you know, doing design for, as you mentioned earlier, selling tomato soup? Or is there something different fundamentally when you're doing?
Well, for me, I mean, when you ask the question of what is your purpose, which all of us ultimately ask ourselves, the fact that the work that you do, in this case design, can have a social effect and a social meaning and can transform ideas, where you feel that you're sharing your perceptions to create a better universe or to affect people positively, that's a rich, rich reward that nothing else substitutes for. So political life inevitably has to be one of the areas where you can, in fact, be heard by others. And that is, I must say, that is the best reason I have discovered for how to make my life meaningful.
Mm. You write in the introduction that all my life I've wanted to go, my work to go beyond professionalism and into the world of art. I guess this brings us back to where we started. Do you feel that happened?
I don't know. And the rich thing about that is no one knows. Uh-huh. I mean, you never know when you have entered the world of art. That only occurs as a judgment of history, and take it or leave it, you're going to be gone by the time that evaluation occurs.
Well, I can think of many who think that it has happened. I've been speaking with graphic designer Milton Glaser. Thank you so much for joining us, Milton.
Been a great pleasure.
His new book is Milton Glaser Posters, 427 Examples from 1967 to 2017. You're listening to Midday on WNYC.